ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 10th, Chapter 89th, Text 21st, the chapter entitled Krishna and Arjuna Retrieve a Brahmana's Son. Shri Shuka Uvacha Ekada Dwaravatyam Tu Viprapatnya Kumarakaha जातमात्रो भुवं स्पृष्ट्वा ममारखिल भारत। श्रीशुक उवाच एकदा द्वारवत्यां तु विप्रपत्न्या कुमारकः जातमात्रो भुवं स्पृष्ट्वा ममारखिल भारत। श्रीशुक उवाच एकदा द्वारवत्यां तु विप्रपत्न्या कुमारकः जातमात्रो भुवं स्पृष्ट्वा ममारखिल भारत। एकदा द्वारवत्यां तु विप्रपत्न्या कुमारकः जातमात्रो भुवं स्पृष्ट्वा ममारखिल भारत। श्रीशुक उवाच एकदा द्वारवत्यां तु विप्रपत्न्या कुमारका ममारखिल भारत। माताजी श्रीशुक उवाच एकदा द्वारवत्यां तु विप्रपत्न्या कुमारका जातमात्रो भुवं स्पृष्ट्वा ममारखिल भारत। ट्रांसलेशन एंड purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Shukdev Goswami said, once in Dwarka, a Brahmana's wife gave birth to a son, but the newborn infant died as soon as he touched the ground, O Bharat. Purport. In this chapter, Lord Vishnu has been glorified as the Supreme Godhead. Now, Shukdev Goswami is going to identify Lord Krishna with that same personality of Godhead by describing another pastime of his, one which highlighted his unequaled divine characteristics. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagurajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanya Mishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Hare Krishna. Translation once again. Shukdev Goswami said, once in Dwarka, a Brahmana's wife gave birth to a son, but the newborn infant died as soon as he touched the ground, O Bharata. Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all the devotees assembled here so that I can speak something worthwhile for my purification and Lord's glorification. One time, His Holiness Janananda Goswami Maharaj was giving a talk, and in his talk he mentioned that Srila Prabhupada asked one time his disciples one very straightforward question. Prabhupada asked, why does Krishna perform so many pastimes? So devotees thought for a while, thought maybe this is too philosophical a question. So they didn't revert back. They were waiting for Prabhupada's reply. Finally, Prabhupada turned to them and said, there are two main reasons why Krishna performed so many pastimes. The one reason is undoubtedly to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And above all, more importantly, the second reason why Prabhupada said why Krishna performed so many pastimes is that we as devotees have something to speak about. So it's Krishna's kindness that he appeared in this world and gave us a chance to glorify him. Bile batur uru vikramanye Na shrunvata karna pute narasya jivva sati darduri keva suta na chopa gayata urugaya gatha. Srimad Bhagavatam explains those tongue which, those ears which do not hear the glories of Lord Uruvikrama. And those ears are compared to the bilay batur. They are compared to snake holes. And that tongue which does not glorify the Supreme Lord, that tongue is compared to an unchaste woman. So there are unlimited topics to discuss in this world. Shrutavyadini Rajendra Nranam Santi Shahastrashah Apashchitam Atmatattvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. So Prabhupada said, Krishna has appeared so that we have something to speak. There are unlimited topics that are available in this world for a person to discuss. But most of the people in this world, they will speak everything else, leaving this one topic apart, and that's Krishna Katha. And Krishna has left this Krishna Katha to be spoken by his devotee, by his devotees. In fact, Bilvamangal Thakur, in his beautiful composition, Govinda Damodar Stotra, after glorifying Lord Krishna again and again, especially Krishna's holy names, the last verse that he composes is it's worth referring here. He says that Vaktum samartho pina vaktu kashchit aho jananam vyasanabhimukhyam jivvepi basva mritameta devam Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. He's saying, who is that most unfortunate person in this world who is inviting distress, misery and sorrow in his own life? Vaktum samarthopi na vaktu kashchit. Na vakti kashchit. That means, although a person has the ability, has the capacity, has the facility and has the opportunity to describe or glorify the pastimes of the Lord, still he is not able to do so. He is the most unfortunate person in this world. So we may have the ability, the capacity, facility also. Prabhupada has created facility and opportunity for every one of us to glorify, to preach and to speak about Krishna. But if we cannot take it, I mean, we should grab it with the best of our capacity. But I can say for myself, I am not doing it up to the mark, although so much has been offered to me. So that's my unfortunate situation. I was just recently in Guru Puja and happened to see one devotee who comes quite often. I was standing with the stick in his hand and I saw that this devotee doesn't have eyes. So he was just blind, and with the stick in his hand, he was standing in Guru Puja. I was also standing in Guru Puja and I was in my own world of lamentation, hankering. I was not conscious of someone singing Prabhupada's Guru Puja. And this devotee I happened to see, suddenly my eyes went to him and I saw this devotee was just jumping up and down with so much enthusiasm that I was taken aback. And I was thinking, here is the person who is actually in one sense disabled. He is in a position, he is not in a position to see. He has not seen Prabhupada. He cannot see Radha Gopinath. He cannot see who a devotee is standing next by. But because of his enthusiasm and eagerness to glorify Prabhupada, to glorify Krishna, he is much more closer. Although he may be physically not staying closer to Radha Gopinath, but he is very close to the heart of Radha Gopinath and Prabhupada. And here I was thinking, I am so close, staying very close to Radha Gopinath, physically close, but I am miles apart because I was completely switched off, not conscious of what am I supposed to do. So in spite of all the capacity, the ability, all the facilities and the opportunity that is being offered to us. Samvan, vaktum samarthopi na vakti kashchit, aho jananam vyasanabhimukhyam. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur is saying, that person is the most unfortunate one. So I thought maybe I fall in that category very much. But I read somewhere someone giving a very nice statement. The statement is that I may be foolish, I may be childish, but by the blessings of devotees, let my tongue relinquish, let my tongue banish, let my tongue admonish all the rubbish so that my tongue can relish and I get astonished by the bluish boy Krishna. So in spite of all the limitations, we'll try to glorify Lord Krishna with little capacity. So this beautiful chapter speaks about two main important themes. These two themes, of the so many themes that Srimad Bhagavatam describes, these two themes are recurring again and again in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially these two themes runs under the surface of every pastime in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, and especially the 10th canto. And since this chapter specifically will highlight these two themes, so I just thought, no, we'll try to share something in regards to these two themes. The first theme is what is the position or the supreme position of Krishna or Vishnu above all other forms of God? And second is, anyone who has even made an attempt to establish a relationship with Krishna, Lord goes out of his way to help or to be on that devotee's side during the thick and thin time of his life. And we will see these two themes, being projected very well in this pastime. So the first theme is supreme position of Lord Krishna above all other forms of God. God is simultaneously concealed and revealed in the Vedic scriptures. Many times, Krishna doesn't really reveal himself thoroughly, completely in the Vedas. But that same complete manifestation of God is clearly described in the essence of all the Vedic literatures, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Just as a clarified butter or ghee is present in the milk all the time, although we may not be able to see or perceive that ghee, but when that milk is heated, boiled, made into curd, and when the curd is churned into butter, and when the butter is heated up, that butter finally turns into ghee. So there is a process, the churning process that happens, and that's when the ghee comes out. Similarly, when all the Vedic literatures, Krishna is present but is not seen or perceived, but when those Vedic literatures are churned thoroughly, then the essence of all the Vedic literature that comes brings out Krishna's personality as the supreme. The same example can be, we can extend this example, just as a juice is present in all the part of the tree, could be twig, could be leaf, could be a flower, could be stem or a branch, but that juice cannot be tasted
unless and until that juice manifests or that tree manifests of a fruit within that tree. Similarly, Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam Shukamukhad Amrutam Drava Samyutam. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature. So, it's the essence, and this essence culminates in the fruit that is Srimad Bhagavatam, and Krishna is that nectar which is to be relished by all the great souls. So, Srimad Bhagavatam explains Krishna's supremacy or supreme position over all of the gods. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse begins with Janmadi Asyataha and it goes on saying Satyam Param Dhimahi. Now, Vyasadeva, when he is offering this Mangalacharan prayers, here he doesn't mention the name of Krishna. He is simply saying Satyam Param Dhimahi. And different paths, different acharyas gives different understanding of this word Satyam Param Dhimahi. But Vaishnava acharyas clearly explains who that Satyam Param refers to. And they say that the Satyam Param refers to Lord Krishna, because they quote this very famous verse from Gopala Tapni Upanishad, which says that Krishna eva paro deva tam dhyayataha. That who is para? Krishna. Who is param? Krishna. And who is satyam? Satyam is param. And here this verse explains that param is Krishna. That's why satyam param is Lord Shri Krishna. In fact, Mahabharata explains a very beautiful, comes up with this beautiful verse which says that Satye pratishtita Krishna, Satye matra pratishtita, Satyat satyasya govinda, Tasmat satyo hi namaka. Satye pratishtita Krishna, that Krishna resides in the truth, and truth resides in Krishna. And this name Govinda is Satya Swaroop. Therefore, one of the names of Lord Krishna is Satya. And that same Satya which Vedvyas is referring to in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, that same Param Satya is being offered prayers to in the womb of Mother Devaki right at the onset of the 10th canto. So, Vedvyas, where all the demigods are coming in front of Devaki and Vasudev, and they are offering prayers to the womb, to the child in the womb of Mother Devaki. They don't refer this child, the demigods, when they are offering prayers, they don't refer this baby as Lord Krishna, but they refer to that baby as Satyam Param. Satyavratam Satyaparam Trisatyam Satyasya Yoni Nihitam Cha Satye Satyasya Satyam Rita Satya Netram Satyatmakam Tvam Sharanam Prapanna. So that first verse which glorifies Satyam Param is again glorified in the 10th canto as Satyavrata Satyaparam Trisatyam. Satyavratam means one who never deviates from his vows. And Satyaparam is that absolute truth. Satyaparam Trisatyam. Trisatyam means one who exists in all the three yugas, one who exists during all the three past, present and future, and who exists in all the three planetary systems. Satyasya Yoni, who is the origin of truth. Satyatmakam Tvam Sharanam Prapanna. So Vyasdev is offering obeisances or offering his pranam to that supreme absolute truth. So now, 10th canto goes through specific progression. There is a specific progression that is happening in the 10th canto. The first verse begins, then comes a lot of glorification of different forms of Lord in in the 1st to 9th canto and 10th and 11th canto exclusively describes the beautiful glories of Lord Krishna. So 10th canto goes through specific progression under the surface level. At the surface, Lord Krishna is performing wonderful pastimes, but under the surface, Krishna's supremacy is established. Krishna's glories, Krishna's beauty specifically, and Krishna's greatness is established through this pastime that are happening in the 10th canto. And we all know how different asuras appeared to kill Krishna. This is just my speculation. I was just thinking how Putana, her body was so gigantic, represents the Parthiv Sharir, the earth element. Krishna killed Putana. Trinavarta came as a whirlwind. That is the Vayavya Sharir, the wind element of the nature. Then Krishna swallowed fire. That's the fire element that Krishna really conquered upon. Not only that, then Shakatasur, he did not assume any form that was like an the Akash or the Ithril form that this demon appeared in. Krishna even defeated Varun Dev, the water element. So this five powerful elements, Prithvi, Jal, Tej, Vayu, Akash, who appeared in different forms, Krishna dominates and establishes his supremacy over. Krishna then, through his pastime of defeating Indra, who is the king of all demigods, proves his supremacy over all the demigods. Krishna, even through Brahma Vimohan Leela, so this is the progression that's happening. Krishna, Brahma Vimohan Leela, Krishna is establishing his supremacy by humbling Lord Brahma. Through Banasura pastime, Krishna is establishing his supremacy over Lord Shiva. Although Krishna establishes his supremacy, but still Krishna acknowledges the position and power of all these demigods. He doesn't deny their existence, but acknowledges their power and position. But he inverts the hierarchy. And here we see, even Mahavishnu, who appears to be the source of all incarnation, he is desiring to see the form, supreme form of the Lord. So Krishna acknowledges the supreme, their position, their power, but finally inverts the whole hierarchy, establishing his supremacy. So here we see the sages. Just few verses before, we see the sages assembling together and they wanted to establish who is supreme. And they represented, they appointed Bhrigu Muni as the representative. And finally, this pastime culminates by all the sages coming to this conclusion that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of God. And it's quite surprising that a new chapter should have started. Shukdev Goswami continues further. The sages orchestrated this pastime to prove that Vishnu is the Supreme Lord. And now, in this same chapter, we will see Lord Vishnu orchestrating this pastime by killing the sons of Brahmana. Just so that he can have a personal audience of Lord Shri Krishna. And Vishnu is, by the way, Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Why will Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, torture that Brahmana by killing his son? But he is making this is Lord Vishnu's game plan, that he is actually arranging this entire episode so that he can invite Lord Krishna to have his beautiful darshan. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes that Lord Vishnu is eager to take darshan of Lord Krishna, and it is not Lord Krishna who is eager to take darshan of Lord Vishnu. And Krishna is so attractive that he not only attracts the people of this world, but he attracts personality like Lord Mahavishnu. Now, who can impress or who can actually attract Mahavishnu? In this pastime of churning of the milk ocean, when Lakshmiji appeared, all the demigods were eager, or they were actually very much attracted by the beauty of Lakshmiji, and they all wanted to marry Lakshmiji. But Lakshmiji was least bothered, and she got attracted seeing the beautiful form of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu is not even attracted, he is least bothered to even look at Lakshmiji. So someone who is not affected or attracted by the feminine beauty, not of this world, but what to speak of, the heavenly abodes or the spiritual world, where the beauty surpasses the beauty of this world far more times. So Lord Vishnu was not attracted by any of such beauty. But here we see Lord Vishnu is attracted to have darshan of Lord Krishna.
Sudur darshamidam rupam drishtvanasi yanmama deva apyasya rupasya nitya darshan kangshina.
Lord Krishna, when he showed this universal form to Arjuna in the 11th chapter, after this universal form was shown to Arjuna, Arjuna is requesting Krishna, "My dear Lord, please can you come back in your two-armed form? I want to see that form." And that's when this Lord Krishna is telling that this form of mine, this two-handed form of mine, is very rare to be seen. And deva apyasya rupasya nitya darshana kangshina. Even the demigods, great gods, are very eager to have this darshan of mine. So Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, is orchestrating this entire pastime so that he can have an audience and he can have a darshan of Lord Krishna, who is the complete manifestation of the personality of Godhead. That's why Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion explains that there are 64 qualities that Lord Krishna possesses. Of those 64 qualities, a jivatma, a normal conditioned soul, can exhibit at the max 50 qualities. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and other demigods can exhibit at the max up to 55 qualities. Lord Vishnu exhibits 60 qualities. But there are 4 qualities that Krishna reserves the right to himself. Exclusively, that Krishna manifests. They are Rupa Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, and Venu Madhurya, and Prema Madhurya. Rupa Madhurya is Krishna's beautiful form, is incomparable and unrivaled in the entire existence. Leela Madhurya is where Krishna performs so many numerous pastimes for the pleasure of his devotees. Venu Madhurya is, he plays on his divine flute, attracting the people of this world. And Prema Madhurya is Krishna is having a very personal, intimate, loving relationship with his devotees. Of course, there is no difference. Prabhupada said, Lord Vishnu means Krishna and Krishna means Vishnu. So in that sense, there is no need of debate or discussion as to who is supreme. Srimad Bhagavatam or every scripture has something called as a Paribhas Sutra. What is Paribhas Sutra? Paribhas Sutra is the seed verse which actually explains the central theme of that literary work. It's like everything, that verse is the most important verse of the entire of that scripture, and all other verse revolves around this verse. So just as of all the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam is the emperor of all the evidence. Sarva Pramananam Chakravarti. Jiv Goswami establishes Srimad Bhagavatam as the emperor of all the scriptures. Similarly, Jiv Goswami states that the 28th verse of the third chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is the emperor of the entire verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is, Ete Cham Sakalam Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Loke Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. So this verse is called the Paribhas Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam because it is, Jiva Goswami explains that this verse is most conclusive, it is absolute, it is unambiguous, it is declarative and categorical in establishing supremacy of Lord Krishna. In first three sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami, of the first three sandarbhas that he composed, the Bhagavat Sandarbha, the Tattva Sandarbha, the Paramatma Sandarbha, he establishes the position of Bhagwan as supreme over the Brahman and the Paramatma aspect of the Absolute Truth. But now, in this Krishna Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami establishes who that Bhagwan is, the identity of Bhagwan as Lord Krishna, through this Paribhas Sutra. So Jiva Goswami says that this Paribhas Sutra, or this verse, Ete Cham Sakalam Pumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, this verse is like a monarch, like the king. And all other verses, 17,999 verses, they are like an army. And just as monarch controls the entire army, similarly this verse controls over all other verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he goes on to explain that this scripture is known as Srimad Bhagavatam because it specifically explains that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And Srimad Bhagavatam contains not just few isolated descriptions of Krishna, but more than half of its content explains Lord Krishna's supremacy. In fact, the 10th and the 11th canto, which constitutes the almost half of Srimad Bhagavatam, speaks only about Krishna. This is how he goes on to explain how Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And once Lord Krishna's supremacy is established right at the onset of Srimad Bhagavatam, then we will see that the word Krishna and Vishnu that appears in the verses ahead, they are used as identical and interchangeable. That means where the word Krishna comes, it refers to Vishnu, and where the word Vishnu comes, it refers to Krishna also. Just as we all know that Prahlad Maharaj was devotee of Lord Vishnu. But then, lot of the time, the words used are Krishna Graha Grihitatma or Matirna Krishna Paratasvatova. So these words, Vishnu and Krishna, are identical and interchangeable. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj was devotee of Vishnu. Neither Krishna appeared, neither Vishnu appeared in front of him. Who appeared was Narsingadev. So actually, all these forms are identical in one sense. But even in 10th canto, we see this beautiful verse, this pastime of Lord Krishna, Rasleela pastime, where this verse appears, Vikriditum Vrajavadur Idam Cha Vishnur. So here Krishna is performing Rasleela pastime, but Shukdev Goswami is quoting the word Vishnu. So there is actually no need to really make unnecessary differentiation. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva comes to our rescue many times during the most critical time where people ask this question, who is supreme? Vishnu is supreme or Krishna is supreme? So actually, both of these personalities, they are one person, but two different personalities. One person, but two different behaviors or two different moods. The behaviors are poles apart. In fact, one time Shyamananda was giving a talk and he was saying that Krishna means all attractive and Vishnu means all pervading. Now all attractive is attractive because of his infinite attributes. And being all pervading is just simply only one of the many attributes that Lord Krishna has. That's why he is all attractive. So it is said that Krishna, the difference is only in their behavior and personalities. So it is said that Vishnu is God at office and Krishna is God at home. Krishna is very much relaxed in Golok Vrindavan, while Lord Vishnu, he assumes a very formal role, just as a president of America in White House has to accept a very formal role, or a military general will have his uniform, will have his guns or ammunitions, or he has his national duties. People salute him. And people look at him with awe and reverence. Similarly, Vishnu at office is having a very formal dress in the form of Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, where he has to take a role of an administrator. But when that military general goes to home, he is a husband to someone, where a wife can chastise him heavily and he won't mind. Or he is a son to someone, where a mother can call him with a nickname. Or he is a friend to someone. So Krishna, in his abode, is relaxed and he is just having a mother, having a father, having wonderful friends, where he's playing with those friends and he's getting defeated and these friends are telling him, okay, now you have to carry us on your back. So Krishna has parents. Lord Vishnu doesn't have parents. Apparently, we see. Krishna plays. Vishnu doesn't play. Krishna steals, Vishnu doesn't steal. So, just the very fact that Vishnu is God at office, where he has to officially accept this role of being the administrator. And in this entire, when we are talking about, when the scriptures talk about universal affair, so Lord Vishnu is like the prime minister, and Krishna and all the other demigods are like the cabinet ministers, where they have to officially perform this role. So when it comes to a universal administration, Lord Vishnu plays much more important role than what Lord Krishna has to play. Because Krishna is relaxing at his home. But Vishnu is right there in the front. For example, like Chaitanya Charitamrita was giving this example, that when any complaint has to be registered, then a phone call goes to police station and not to the home of a police person. Similarly, when any complaint comes from the demigod side, it has to go to Lord Vishnu. It doesn't go to Lord Krishna. Why? Because Lord Vishnu is there at the office and he is playing that role of an administrator. So to an external vision, whichever incarnation comes, they will come only after an appeal is made to Lord Vishnu. And the appeal is made when the complaint is made to the person at the police station. That's when all the police force comes. So all the incarnations, maybe even it is Lord Ram or Lord Krishna, they have to, because the appeal is channelized through Lord Vishnu and all the sources come through Lord Vishnu, it appears to an external vision that even personalities like Lord Ram and Krishna comes through the source of Lord Vishnu. But we see in one pastime in Krishna Leela, in Brahma Vimohan Leela, unlimited Vishnu forms appeared from the body of Lord Krishna. So, it's not only Krishna who appears from Vishnu, but even Vishnu appears from Krishna simultaneously. And the very fact, the very word avatar means avatariti iti avatar. That means that which descends. Someone who is already existing somewhere up and now it is slowly coming down. So when all these different avatars descends in this world, it's not that they suddenly appear. They are already existing at the spiritual realm. But when the complaint is registered, they all follow that channel where they come through Lord Vishnu, because he is the main person at the office. So he's the source, means Lord Vishnu is the source, means he's the source through whom all the requests are rooted and all the different incarnations appear as per time and situation. So in essence, both of them are same. Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna are same. There is no difference as such. Difference is in the mood and in the behavior. And the most important is, from the point of view of manifesting more qualities and intimacy, the intimate side of God, Lord Krishna is the complete manifestation of God. So this is what this entire pastime will reveal in due course. The second theme of today's discussion, of course you are running short of time, we don't have much time to discuss. Second theme is how, just as Krishna is always there with Arjuna during good times, bad times, ups and downs, thick and thin period, Krishna is always there with his devotee, even though he may not be at the level of Arjuna. And Krishna is willing to go or offer himself and go out of his way to help and serve his devotee. Of the 64 qualities that Krishna possesses, the 18th quality of Krishna is very determined. Lord Krishna is very determined to fulfill the vows of his devotees. There are two vows. There are eternal vows that Krishna has to fulfill, and there are occasional vows that Krishna has to fulfill. The eternal vow is Kaunteya Pratijanahi Name Bhakta Pranashati. That is, this is the eternal vow that Krishna is determined to fulfill, that his devotee will never perish. An occasional vow is like Krishna giving promises to Satyabhama that he will get the Parijat flower from Indra's abode. So Krishna never allows his devotee to fall. This is the promise that Krishna has made, and he is determined to fulfill that promise. So So our acharyas explained that just as Krishna has these two vows to fulfill, we also have two vows to fulfill, the eternal vows that we take in front of our guru, the vows of following the four regular principles and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the occasional vows, the obligations, the duties that we have to perform in this world. So in the course of performing the obligations, the duties of this world, we should not forget to fulfill our eternal vow that we have made to our guru and Krishna, just as Krishna is determined to fulfill these two vows, eternal and occasional vows. Sarathya parashada sevana sakya dautya lila virasananugamanam stavanam prananam snigdeshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnum bhaktim karoti nirpatim charanaravindam. It's a beautiful verse that appears in the first kind of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Parikshit Maharaj is very overwhelmed by seeing Lord Krishna, who is obeyed by the entire universe. Everyone obeys Lord Krishna, but here Krishna is obeying the orders of Pandavas. Sarathya parashada sevana sakya dautyam. How Krishna is willing to become a chariot driver, or he's willing to become a president, a messenger, a friend to the Pandavas. He snigdeshu pandushu. Here the Pandavas are very malleable to the desires of Lord Krishna. So those devotees who are very malleable, willing to bend to live by the desires of Lord Krishna, Krishna is willing to bend himself more than the devotee, going out of his way to serve and protect his devotees. In fact, there's a beautiful verse that appears in Padyavali. Rupa Goswami quotes this beautiful verse, which says that nothing is impossible for Lord Krishna when it comes to protecting his devotees. Just as we will see in this pastime, which will unfold in due course, how Lord Krishna is willing to go out of his way to protect the vow that Arjuna had taken. Arjuna takes a vow that unless he retrieves the son of Brahmanas, if he doesn't, he will enter into blazing fire. And here we see Arjuna actually couldn't find where the sons of Brahmanas were. He even went to the abode of Yamraj, thought maybe he will find these sons with Yamraj. But to his surprise, he couldn't even find those sons in the abode of Yamraj. And here is Lord Krishna, who is standing by his side, and he is just going out of his way. So nothing is impossible for Lord Krishna. So this verse from Padyavali reveals the beautiful quality of Krishna, how Krishna makes impossible possible and anything that's possible, impossible. Ambodhi stalatam stalam jaladitam dhuli lave shailatam shailo amritkanatam trunam kulishatam vajram trinam kshinatam vanhi shitalatam himam dahanatam ayati yasyechaya lila durlalitadbhuta vyasanine krishnaya tasmai namaha. Rupa Goswami is saying that ambodhi stalatam jalam staladitam dhuli lave shailatam, that Krishna can turn ambodhi, an ocean, into a land, and a land into an ocean. Dhuli lavai shailatam. He can turn a dust into a mountain, and a mountain into a dust. And he can turn a vajra. He can turn a blade of grass into a vajra, a thunderbolt, and he can turn thunderbolt to a vajra. Vanhi shitalatam. He can turn fire into a very cooling breeze, and he can turn heem or ice into fire. Yes, ayati yas ichchaya. He is Swarat. He can turn. He can turn impossible into possible. So we see in the this theme is constantly flowing in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna is doing impossible possible for the pleasure of his devotees. He turns a very ugly woman and gives him the most beautiful form. Or he brings the dead sons of his guru back to life. Or he's willing to break all of his vows that he has taken, that he will not fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but he breaks all his vows just so as to protect his devotees. Or he can turn even a handful of grains into a beautiful gems, diamond rubies for the pleasure of his devotees. And he can even give a most wicked enemy the best or the highest position in the spiritual world by killing demoness Putana. So we see these pastimes reflecting this beautiful quality of Krishna, where Lord Krishna is willing to help, assist, be there all the side to protect his devotees. And just as Arjuna here takes a vow to enter into fire, similarly, he took that vow before also. On the 13th day of Kurukshetra, when the six Maharathis, they killed this innocent, very soft, young, budding child of Arjuna, Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu was so enraged that he took a vow that by evening he will kill Jayadrath. Otherwise, if he can't, he will enter into fire. And when Lord Krishna heard Arjuna taking this vow, Krishna told, of course there's a long discussion that happens. Finally, Krishna says to Arjuna, "Arjuna, how can you take such vow? You have taken burden upon yourself, which is so, you have taken burden on your shoulder, which is so very difficult to lift." And Arjuna tells, "My dear Lord, I know you are there my side. So I don't have anything to worry." And Krishna tells Arjuna, "Arjuna, you go and take rest." So Arjuna goes and take rest in the night. And here is Krishna, who is awake till the midnight, and he's discussing with Daruka that how is it that Arjuna can take such vow. And he tells Daruka, "Next day, now if Arjuna cannot kill Jayadrath, I will personally kill Jayadrath. And whoever comes in front of them, I am ready to break all my promises." And he tells Daruka that you keep my Komodiki weapon, my chakra, my sarangabo, everything ready, so that in case by the end of the day Arjuna can't, I will personally make sure, because if Arjuna cannot survive, I cannot survive. So, and then we see the whole pastimes, how it manifests, how it unfolds, where six Maharathis, Arjuna actually killed 8 Akshohini divisions of soldiers that very same day. But still he could not approach close to Jayadrath. That was the formidable formation that Dronacharya had arranged in order to keep Jayadrath away so that Arjuna cannot come even closer. And those six Maharathis, Krishna is telling, the sun is about to set, Krishna is telling Arjuna, "Arjuna, now do you see the six Maharathis still standing alive? It is impossible for you to approach Jayadrath. Because unless and until you kill the six Maharathis, it is not possible." And Krishna does something impossible possible. He tells Arjuna, "Arjuna, just behold, the sun is about to set, and by my yog maya potency, I am just going to cover the sun in such a way that it will appear that it's going to be, it has become dark. The sun has set. the sun and the horizon have met, but you be focused on shooting at Jayadrath. And that's what he does. And everyone, to everyone's surprise, the sun sets, appears to have set. And Jayadrath and all the Kauravas, they jubilate. And that's when Krishna tells Arjuna, Arjuna, you shoot this arrow now. And you shoot it in such a way that this head of Jayadrath falls directly into the lap of his father, Vriddhakshetra, who is doing his tapasya right now somewhere nearby in Samanta Panchak. Otherwise, whoever has killed Jayadrath, that person's head will crack into 100 pieces. And Arjuna, to his precision, he shoots an arrow, and that arrow takes that head off Jayadrath's, and directly it falls on the lap of Jayadrath's father. And Jayadrath's father, he just pushes that, seeing a sudden head falling on his lap, his father just throws off that head on the ground, and his father's head cracks into hundreds of pieces. So, and Krishna gives all credit to Arjuna. This is Krishna's glories, that he is doing everything, but finally he wants to give credit to his devotees. So, I'm sorry, I've already overboard the time. So these two themes that we see, first is Krishna's supremacy above all forms of God, and Krishna who is willing to go all the way to protect his devotee, is the theme that is very inspiring for all the devotees at all the times. So I thought I will speak something that will benefit me so that I got inspired to continue on this process. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.